Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists, Brendan Mulry. Brendan, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
All right, Coach Steve, thanks for having me. What a pleasure.
Mate, I'm so excited to finally get a chance to chat with you. But you know, just a few days ago, you found out that you were in the top 10. Can you tell us a little bit about your past week? What has the past week been like for you?
Oh, mate, it was a highlight, that's for sure. That morning, you called me. I was away actually working, so I was by myself in a motel room in Sydney and got that call, and I nearly fell over, honest to God. So obviously couldn't wait to get off the phone and tell my wife. She was right behind me 100% this whole challenge since January, really, and she was just as ecstatic as me. So just been plenty of DMs from other challengers congratulating me. It's just been good times, mate. Yeah, good times.
Mate, that's amazing. And look, I just want to say congratulations on an amazing result. You should be so proud of what you've achieved. And
thank you.
Let's start here. You did the challenge in January and then you signed up again in May. Is that right?
January challenge, yeah. Sure did. Just enjoyed that. Had good results there. So I was always going to do another challenge in May. I'll probably just keep doing them, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, mate, let's start there. Do you want to tell us a little bit of a story about maybe why you chose to start the January challenge and then tell us maybe why you decided to sign up again for the May challenge?
Yep. So January, I work a very sedate job. And just over the last few years, I'd put on a lot of weight, and my job requires us to pass a Cat A medical to be employed. So it's always in the back of your mind when you're sitting around eating junk food. You're like, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I'm expanding, you know. Like, I actually had a mate that did the Max's challenge. It would have to be 6 or 7 years ago, maybe. And he done really well. And I just thought, I'm going to do something about this in January. I just knew that I was going to go with the Max challenge. So that's where I ended up there. And yeah, worked a treat. To be honest, probably January, because COVID hit halfway through that one. So I was probably about 80% compliant, I reckon. When the gyms closed down, I sort of thought, what am I going to do now? I had nothing at home. So it was about 2 or 3 weeks there where I really struggled to keep motivation going, but got a bit of stuff together at home to start working with and got back into it then. And yeah, still had really good results. I was stoked with the January challenge. And then yeah, this one come around and jumped on board with that just to keep it going.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about that moment where you decided to make a change, right? So that might have been in January, might have been in December, might have been even before that. And can you speak a little bit about that? Was there like one moment where maybe you took a photo of yourself or looked at yourself in the mirror and said, I've got to do something about this? Or was it like a buildup of lots of different things and lots of different moments? Or was there something as simple as, you know, you had a medical exam coming up and you needed to get in shape for that? Can you speak a little bit about what kind of like triggered the change to sign up?
To be completely honest, I had it coming for a long time. Like, I really wanted to do something for a long time. And it was last Christmas and we were all sitting in the front yard, sitting around having a couple of beers. And my son looks at me and said, Dad, you're the only one here with a beer belly. And I was like, wow, I am too. He's sitting with his uncles and that. They're all in pretty good shape, you know? And I thought, righto, that's basically it. I'm going to do something about this. And then January come around, New Year's resolution. Yeah, no more beers. And stuck with that till the end of the last challenge. I did celebrate with a couple after that one had finished because the boys had been hampering me for a fair while to have one. So I obviously caved after the second challenge. But yeah, it was 7 months, no beers. Felt great. And yeah, that was basically my real turning point was when, yeah, he sort of thought, he obviously noticed it, you know, so it was obviously noticeable.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the, you know, maybe difference to approaches in the January versus the May challenge. And you've kind of spoken a little bit saying that in January, you know, we all got hit with COVID and maybe you were 80% compliant. But then, you know, in May, we were starting almost living in the COVID environment.
Yeah.
So what was the difference in your approach between the January and the May challenge? Was it more compliance? Was it more intensity? Like, what was the difference?
The difference, I sort of new. Like when COVID hit halfway through January, I didn't know what I was going to do next. This next challenge come around and the gyms were still closed. And so I had a bit of more of a visual of how I was going to attack it. And I set myself up at home with a fair bit of weight and basics like a bench press and pull-up bar, etc. I had more of a plan in my head and I just stuck with it and I never looked back. I gave it 110% pretty much. There was no cheating, no skipping workouts, no matter what it sort of took. I made sure I got all my workouts in for the week and, yeah, just stuck it out, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was just planning at the start of it, yeah, just knowing where you were going, yeah. The first one was a bit more unsure, yeah.
I think that's important to think about because, you know, there is a fallacy, right? And the fallacy is that when we start a fitness journey or a body transformation, we look at the successes. Well, it's a real core survivorship bias where we look at the things that are posted online or the media out there and we go, oh, you know, this person did an amazing job in 12 weeks. If you then attempt that 12-week challenge and you don't get the same results as this person who's, you know,
yeah.
You survived it, right? Then you kind of feel disheartened, which isn't the case, right? The people who do well in their very first challenge, who go from a position of being out of shape, unfit, that type of thing, those people yeah. who do one challenge and then go from, you know, like fat to fit in one challenge are super rare, super, super rare. And
yeah.
what tends to happen is we almost need, you know, 1, 2, 3 challenges or months and months of training over time because we build up skills over time. And this is important because
yeah.
you may have experienced that. Where the first challenge, let's say you were maybe 80% compliant, you were still like testing the waters, you're figuring everything out. You're figuring out everything from how do you sleep better? How do I meal prep? To, you know, how can I get better at the bench press or the squat or the deadlift or whatever in between? And then yeah. as you went moved into the second challenge, you already had the foundation. You've sorted out all the little things and then now it's time to, you know, build onto it. And the analogy that I use is, you know, maybe one challenge you take to like build the foundation to your house. Then the next challenge, you actually yeah. build the house. And then probably the third challenge and beyond, you're there decorating and painting it and adding little bits and pieces to it. And you go, oh, hey, now I'm going to build a little garage on the side and those sorts of things. And that tends to happen in our fitness journeys where we go, okay, maybe I've lost a little bit of weight. I've developed good habits. I'm starting to build a bit of muscle. And then now you get to a point where you are, where you're really lean, you're really fit, where you go, hey, like now I might want to focus on building some size in my upper body, or I want to start running to build my fitness, or I'm going to compete in a triathlon or do all these other fitness things to test the waters. Okay.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, looking forward in the future for yourself, like, do you have any goals or aspirations of where you want to take your fitness journey right now? Have you thought about that?
100%. I've actually been speaking to, it's a bit outrageous considering I'm so early into this whole fitness thing, but I've been speaking to Will from Fit College, testing the waters around doing Cert 4 in PT training. So that's something not to make a living off, something I just to gain knowledge about. And I think that would help me go forward in my fitness as well.
Yeah.
So that's something I've been thinking a lot about. And I had a big talk to Will the other day about it. And he's sort of, it's an online thing and he's there, he's plenty of support around it. And yeah, I'm just doing something like that just to further my education on it more than anything. Yeah.
That's so cool. I love that so much. And, you know, this goes out to you and anybody listening, you know, if you're studying personal training or fitness and, you know, looking for, I wouldn't call it mentoring or advice, but if you have any questions around the back end of fitness where we're talking about program structure and all this like physiology and all this weird, wacky stuff, and if you need any help, feel free to reach out. And that goes to anybody listening as well. If you're becoming a fitness professional or a personal trainer, you know, reach out. And even within our challenge admin team, reach out to us and we're more than happy to guide you on, you know, where to get information or I guess I wouldn't say knowledge, but, you know, our thoughts and opinions around topics and guide you into direct yeah. knowledge, okay?
Thank you.
But mate, let's talk about some challenges. So every person doing the challenge will have their own unique challenges, right? And that could be struggling to find time to sleep. That could be working out how to meal prep or even, you know, trying to find time to exercise. So can you speak a little bit about some of the challenges that you had to overcome since, you know, maybe even the January challenge and the May challenge? Like, what's some things that you had to figure out how to overcome to get this amazing result that you did?
Okay, so January, probably the same old story as most people. Obviously, life is busy. I do work a 24/7 roster, so that's something that I had to work around. But, I mean, that's just something, that's a personal thing everybody's got to juggle if they want to do something like this. But other challenges, like maybe learning techniques of certain lifts to make sure you're doing them right. And like the first challenge, I did have a couple of niggling injuries, and I'm sure they were from incorrect lifting. So I spent a lot of time Googling, watching your videos just to try and get all my lifts sort of as close to good as possible. Other challenges, just trying to fit everything in. I did have a lot of support from my wife, but you are meal prepping a lot. You are trying to fit all your workouts in around work, which is sometimes it means getting up at 1:30 in the morning to make sure you can do it. Sometimes it meant skipping rest days to make, because, you know, I knew I would be away from home for 2 days. The gyms were shut, so I'd just keep working out. So those 2 days I was away were my rest days. I would just go for a light walk or something like that. Just trying to fit everything into your lifestyle as well was another challenge. But the package itself provides you with all the tools you need to actually succeed. All I had to do was make them fit into my life. That's all I had to do. So basically that was the biggest challenge. And to be honest, once you've sort of found how you're going to do that, you just kept doing it. You got up. My wife used to say, what are you doing now? It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm going to train. I've got to do it because I'm going to Brisbane this afternoon, you know, like, so just making it work. But it's totally doable for anyone, I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. And I think that story that you just told is quite consistent within challenges where they start the challenge, they realize that maybe the training and nutrition side of things are almost the easy part, right? But to actually get the challenge, it's like finding time to do all those things. And what the biggest thing of the challenge is to change our behavior, change our habits, change our routines. That might mean that you wake up slightly earlier. That might mean that you need to spend less time on Netflix. That might mean that you need to modify your day-to-day routine so that you make time. And then what ends up happening is it becomes easier, right? So maybe you're in a position now where you've established all those habits and routines where, okay, now waking up at, you know, let's say 1:30 in the morning isn't a big deal anymore because you're like, oh, well, I mean, I've done it, you know, a couple of dozen times. It's just what I need to do to get everything done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go through something similar where maybe it started off really hard, but then now it's almost like almost easy? It's like, oh, well, I can do this now.
That's exactly how it started off, mate. Like I used to get stressed out, real anxiety about, oh, I've got to get up at 3 o'clock. Otherwise, I'm not going to get a workout in for the next, you know, 2 days. I was like, I've got to do this. But now this morning, like I didn't go to bed last night until it was 1 or 2 o'clock this morning. I didn't get to bed and I sort of, my eyes opened at about 5 o'clock this morning. So I'd been asleep for a few hours, but then my mind's just instantly like, right, I get up and go for a walk because you've got things to do today and that's pretty important. So I just lay there and think about it until your body just basically kicks you out of the bed now. It's great. Yeah.
Wow. So good. Look, let's talk about change now. So if you could rewind yourself the 6 to 9 months ago, let's say that moment when your son told you that, oh, hey, dad, it looks like you've got a little beer belly there. Can you tell us a little bit about how maybe your life has changed from that moment to where you are now? And you've kind of spoken a little bit about it where maybe you're not drinking as much as you used to and you're waking up quite early to be like, oh, I've got to go do something physical. Like, can you speak a little bit more about how your life has changed over this past 9, 6 months or so?
My life has completely changed, but just to touch on it lightly, the biggest change is just spending more time outdoors doing things that are going to improve. Like, I would come home from work and it would just be straight to the fridge and straight onto the lounge, basically with your crackers and cheese, because that's what you thought was a relaxing afternoon. That's what I thought was relaxing, you know. But these days, you go home, you put your joggers on, you get your dog lead and the kids, you drag the kids along kicking and screaming sometimes. But it's funny how their mind, like you've just got to get them out and walking and then they're happy, you know, they don't want to go, but as soon as you get them outside, they're happy. They're looking at things around and exploring as well. But just that whole side of my life has changed. So now it's more that relaxes me, you know, not the beers and the crackers. It's the afternoon walk with the family and the dog, or just get home. And even if you do a 20-minute HIIT session out the backyard with the kids, with it's a totally different lifestyle I lead now. It's been great.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love that you're a role model to your kids, you're a role model to the people around you, and you're, you know, looking at studying fitness now, and you know, you're going to be a role model to so many more people out there. And I think that's so inspiring to listen to.
Hopefully, yes.
Mate, I've got some questions for you here. It's going to be fun. First question is, what's your favorite exercise?
Favorite exercise? I think everyone loves a good bench press.
Nice, nice quality.
Yeah. If I was to choose something different out of the norm, it'd probably be a front squat. I'm a front squatter.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I like that. I'm sure you've seen some of my videos on social media at the moment where I've been playing around with some lifts there.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
So my next question is actually, are you team squats or team deadlifts? But it sounds like you're team squats. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely a squatter. Yeah, love squats. Yeah, more so the front squats.
Mm-hmm.
Back squats are getting better. They're getting better. I just feel the front squats, it's a lighter load. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's more of a hypertrophy thing. You just get the burn in the quads and, you know, right, you got your core. I even like to raise the heels so you're maybe like pushing through your toes to get the legs, the quads really working. And yeah, I just think that it feels like a good full body sort of exercise. Yeah,
I totally agree. Yeah, I do love a front squat. And because you don't have to load it as heavy as a back squat, and, you know, the reason
my front squats aren't heavy, yeah.
No, and there's good data and good science to support around this, like, quadricep activation, where when we load up a front squat, we need it something like, you know, 50% of the load of a back squat to get a similar activation of the quadricep muscle, right? So when we look at, like, hypertrophy and bodybuilding, we go, okay, well, we can either load 100 kilos on our back or 50 kilos in a front squat and then do the same and ultimately get a similar result. And then we look at the bigger fatigue picture and we go, well, we'll save our fatigue by not loading as heavy and get a similar result with a front squat. And then on top of that, you're probably similar to me where you probably just get like an amazing quad pump from this front squat position. And there is some good strategies to lift our heels up slightly. There is some limiting factors where we go, okay, what are we loading our heels up with? Is it a plate? Is it like a sponge? Those types of things. And then we start to wonder, okay, what effect is that doing on the toes and such like that? But that's a bigger, deeper question. But most of us, we get a really nice position when we raise our heels slightly in that front squat.
Yeah, that's right. And I spent a lot of time researching the front squats and the best way to do them because I actually enjoyed them. But that's what I found. The pump you get out of them and just raising the heels a little bit actually changed it a lot for me. It just feels good, you know, especially when you're in the gym. You don't see them that often. And I just like to do different moves, different lifts to, you know, your average everyday sort of. And that's what I liked about the program. So there were so many different lifts that you could perform that weren't so mainstream. Yeah. Some of them may look easy on paper. You think, oh, that would be an easy sort of, and you go and actually get into it and it's actually quite challenging, you know. Yeah.
Like, look, when you say that, it's tricky because those like simple exercises are, you know, the bread and butter. So like, you know, if we think of a squat and a deadlift and a push-up, right, they're super basic, simple movements. They take a long time to master and get good at. And, you know, we mentally get bored of those movements before our body, you know, gets bored of the movement, right? So,
yeah.
And I say this mainly for some people listening that, you know, we need to do bread and butter exercises.
100%.
The latest, most complex exercise that you see on Instagram might not be the best exercise going around. You know, complexity doesn't directly correlate with, you know, good results, right? But sometimes we need to add a little bit of spice in our training, right? So we need to add something that is, you know, maybe new, slightly different, slightly, you know, new pattern to master. And that could be as simple as changing a barbell bench press to a dumbbell chest press, right? Or, you know, changing it to, instead of doing a bench press for 12 weeks, you know, really focus on getting better at push-ups, right? Or, you know, modifying the movement enough where it feels new, but your body is looking at it the exact same way, right?
Yes, yeah.
Now, the next question I have is about flexing. So I know that online you're really part of the Flex Friday. Can you tell us what's your favorite muscle to flex?
Well, mate, when you haven't seen your abs for 20 years, it's probably going to be your abs, isn't it?
Absolutely, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, cardio. You kind of mentioned a little bit of HIIT cardio and, you know, going for a walk and such. Are you a fan of cardio or do you have a love-hate relationship with it?
Well, to be honest, the last challenge I did, the size and strength one, minimal cardio in that, I did like that aspect of it. So I'm not a massive fan of cardio, but my cardio sort of is just walking the dog. Like, it's more of a mind thing for me than actual cardio. But if I'm being away from the gym for a couple of days, I've got no problems doing 20 minutes of HIIT. You know in your mind it's not going to drag on and on and on. It's just quick 20 minutes and you're knocked up, you've done the job and move on with your day. So I would say it is a bit of a love-hate relationship, yeah.
Okay. Hey, let's talk about dinner. What was your go-to dinner during the challenge?
Go-to? I would have to say spag bowl. Yeah.
Quality spag
it's just
bowl.
Easy, mate. It's easy to reheat. I've got no problems eating it cold if I had to. And it's just, yeah, so my freezer always had spag bowl in it, yeah, somewhere.
Okay. All right, so were you a fan of the shred bars or the shred cookies, or did you have the
muscle meal cookie?
Cookie, yeah. Muscle meal
muscle cookie, meal
cookie
was, yeah. It was just a good snack. Oh, well, it was more of a meal. I'm pretty sure there's about 300 and something calories in a muscle meal cookie. So, yeah, so it was an impressive snack. But, yeah, the double chop crunch muscle meal cookie, mate. Yeah,
when I had, like, the shred cookie versus the muscle meal cookie, you can actually taste the difference. And, of course, because of the shred cookie, a lot less calories, have to use different products to what we can put into the muscle meal cookie. And a muscle meal cookie just tastes amazing, right?
They are good, yeah. I'll be honest, I haven't had a shred bar, but... something, I'll give it a go.
You have to try it.
Yeah.
The white chalk raspberry shred bar is one of my favorites. Love
white
it.
White chalk raspberry. Righto.
Right. Let's talk about protein powder. What's your favorite flavor of protein powder?
The banana. Oh, is it a cream pie? Banana cream pie?
Something like that. Yeah. The banana one.
So I'll use the 100% whey.
Yep. Yeah. The 100% whey. Yeah. It's banana. I think it's banana cream pie. Yeah. That's a tasty one.
It's good. It's good. Real good. I like to just add my own. I add my own carbs to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I sort of make up my own post-workout shakes and that sort of thing. But
what kind of carbs do you add to it? Do you add like a dextrose or another pre-salt?
Maltodextrin. I just use maltodextrin, yeah.
All right, let's finish up here with advice. So if someone was coming to you and they wanted to get fit and healthy or they were doing the Max's Challenge, you know, what advice would you give to somebody?
I would just say to get involved, especially with the community on Facebook. There's so much support there to be had, and you've just got to really get involved with it and do a lot of research. Like, you need to learn not only about the lifts, but how all your lifts work, how your food is nourishing you. Like, you need to, I think you need to know about your foods. Like, I just dove headfirst and done as much research as I could and learned as much as I could about what I was actually doing at the time. And then I just became fully involved with the community just to keep me motivated. And they do an awesome job of it. There's a great group of people and I can't thank them enough. And there's a special little group of people who obviously know who they are, who have helped me keep soldering on for the last two challenges, and it's been great. Yeah. So I would just say get involved as much as you can, learn as much as you can, as soon as you can, and meal prep.
And meal prep. I love
it. Very important.
Yes. Brendan, let's wrap it up there, mate. I want to thank you so much for donating some of your time to be on the Challenge podcast. And, you know, once again, a big congratulations on the amazing result that you've achieved. And I know that you'll continue to be a big member of our online community and inspire so many others to live a healthier life and a fitter life and, you know, transform their body. Congratulations and a big thank you.
Thank you very much. And thanks for that program, mate. It's been a pleasure and fun. Been fun.
So good. Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.